Apple has just announced that they're releasing a bunch of new tech, and our kids and some of us adults want that tech. Today, we're going to talk about how do we live well with technology? How do we manage it in our time and our schedules and use it well? Welcome to Sage Reverie, a podcast where we seek to live well and live wisely. I'm Mike Wilson.
And I'm Wes Smith.
We live in the great state of Wyoming, and each week, from a biblical perspective, we discuss a trending topic and what others are saying about it. If you're using these episodes for your group, there are discussion questions in the description. And for more information about our ministry, visit church307.com. Wes, do you have an iPhone?
I do have an iPhone.
You're an Apple guy?
I am an Apple guy.
Yeah. Yep. I guess we can keep being friends then. I'm an Apple guy just because of the ease of life it allows for, like the transition between things. They've figured out the
software. Most people around me are Apple people, so it makes it easier too.
A lot of smart people community. Around you.
Right. Yeah. All right. Right.
No, I think technology now is not a toy anymore.
Right.
It's like a necessity of life. We are all cyborgs in that we've got computers connected to our bodies at all times.
Yeah.
Do you ever look at your screen time on your phone?
I do occasionally, you know, and I know that when we give statistics about screen time, it looks like we're crazy people. And we probably are a bit, but we have to give ourselves a little grace because now we are expected to do everything through our screens.
Yep.
So you have to.
Yep.
So when we talk about living well with technology, we can't just say limit your screen time.
Right.
Because it is hard to have community and do your job and other things unless you do it through your screen.
Yeah.
And it's going to just be worse.
I just went to Disneyland and everything is on the phone. You got to book your eating and order your food and book your rides and everything. Yep. You're just staring at your phone the whole time. Yep. Like, the convenience is nice. Yeah. Like, it makes things easier, but also it's like, I'm staring at my phone the entire
all the time.
I was curious about the psychology of this. So I looked up a video. Let's watch this.
What do these two things have in common? Well, before I get to that, I should probably explain what this thing is. This is a Skinner box. It's been used in the past by psychologists to study behavior. As you can see, the box features a bar. And when the mouse presses the bar, it sometimes gets food. But other times, nothing happens. Over time, the mouse learns that when it pushes the bar, it might receive food. So it pushes, and pushes, and pushes, until it gets its food. So then what does that have to do with this? We're obviously a lot different from mice, but the principle behind both the bar pushing and the scrolling is the same. The behavior is repeated until some kind of reward is delivered. In this case, the reward is a post that we find to be funny, entertaining, or something we just plain like. We stop scrolling long enough to take it in, and then it's right back to scrolling in search of the next post that scratches that itch. Sound familiar? Social media feeds are infinite by design. You could scroll forever and never run out of posts. This scrolling can sometimes feel automatic or mindless, more a result of conditioning than a constant choice. This leads us to spend more time on social media than we intend to, sometimes
more than
we want.
Does that look like US?
No, not really.
And that can cause some issues.
Too much hair, for one.
Let's say you wake up, get on your phone, and start scrolling. Scroll too long, and you might be late for work. In more extreme cases, it could cause you to neglect other aspects of your life or experience anxiety when you're away from your phone.
We're talking. Yeah.
When you interact
if this
with
guy had a dog,
media,
none of this would be a problem, Mike.
They then take this data and use it to further personalize your feed, showing content and ads similar to what you've engaged with previously. This isn't necessarily a bad thing. A more personalized feed can introduce you to content you may not have seen otherwise. However, this design reinforces our scrolling behavior and greatly increases the amount of time we spend using social media.
Are you tempted by the scroll at all?
I am. You first asked me this question in preparation for this conversation, and my response was, no, not really. I don't have a problem. And then just yesterday, at like 4 o'clock, somebody sent me a link that was on Facebook Marketplace. And before I knew it, like 18 minutes went by because I was scrolling Facebook Marketplace. So apparently I am tempted by a scroll.
Just a different.
Didn't know.
You're looking at different things.
Different things. Yeah. We don't talk about this a lot, but boredom is a huge challenge for people.
Yeah.
And man, scrolling, whatever it is, right, is such a, it's a fake fix.
Yep. It's artificial.
It's artificial, but it's such an easy sort of fix.
Yeah.
And I think all of us can be
tempted. It's escapism. We all want to escape our the reality of life. We want to escape our problems and our deadlines.
Yeah.
And the dopamine hits that come from that escape, and every once in a while, even a funny moment or a relief, it does make life easier in the moment. Yeah. And you have to take a step back.
Makes life harder in the long term, though. Yep. And that's the challenge, right? It's temporarily makes it easier, but you don't ever solve real problems in your life. And it's so sad.
It brings to mind pornography for me.
Yeah.
It's that artificial that it's pretending to be something good, but it's actually just giving you a little dopamine hit that is causing more problems than it's solving. But it keeps bringing us back and it keeps tempting us, and we just kind of keep giving ourselves.
And yet we, to realistically address this, we have to understand that it's okay for us to watch a movie or a show or scroll in a limited boundary way to let our mind be distracted. Intentional distraction through recreation or whatever is a positive thing. It's just like we talk about with everything, right? Yeah,
be intentional.
And be wise about these things.
Yeah, yep.
So,
Peter says, prepare your minds. And Paul says, take every thought captive. Yeah. When I think about the scroll, I just think of mindlessness. Mm-hmm. And I think mindlessness in general. Now, I'm a dude who likes my nothing box.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like to get home from work and just shut off. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to do anything. Yeah. I want to turn on ESPN and just stop thinking.
Yeah.
Entertain me.
Yeah.
And so the temptation to do that is sometimes overwhelming to me. Mm-hmm. And it gets even worse when that temptation is right here at all times.
All times.
And I can just disappear. I can enter my nothing box and just do that at any time. That's a big issue that I think all of us have to have a plan.
Yeah.
We have to set up boundaries to make sure that we're not just falling into that temptation.
And that the things we choose in those, as you would say, mindless moments are not leading us in a wrong direction.
Right.
So it's how much of it are we doing? When are we doing it? But then when I'm watching this, when I'm engaging in this, what's it doing to me?
Yep.
Is it just giving me time to rest and replenish, or is it taking me in a direction?
Yeah.
And be wise about the directions you're letting yourself be taken.
Yeah. You said in a previous podcast, you said, choose your inputs.
Choose your inputs.
And I think if you don't choose your inputs wisely, whether it's which news station you're watching, or are you watching news or sports or whatever it is, my wife and I have this habit that when we get home from work, we both say to each other, energy.
Mm.
We just say the word, and that's our way of cueing each other. Like, we did not exert all our energy at work. We had to save some up so that when we got home, we did not just enter our nothing box.
Yeah.
We did not just disconnect, because we recognize that the most valuable use of our time, at least in this stage of our life, is to invest in our kids.
Mm-hmm.
They've been at school all day long. Mm-hmm. We were at work all day long. Mm-hmm. There has got to be some valuable investment made here. Mm-hmm. So I can't totally exert myself at work.
Mm-hmm.
I need to save some of that so that there's some give and take for my kids.
You know, wise people, especially wise people as they age, have to understand when they have energy in a day and a week and be strategic about how they give that.
Oh, that's good.
And so you talk about getting home from work, and then you and your wife have that conversation and this kids and all that. If you haven't thought ahead throughout your day and been strategic about that, that's why when we talk about parenting, I'll often talk about what break in your work did you do when you had high energy to do some parenting? Wow. You've got to be very intentional about your energy level. And you're not, you know, you're much younger than I am. So this will
become younger, just in case you're wondering. Sure.
Yeah. A couple of years at least. But I think as you're wise about this, you understand your energy. And of course, all that goes into what replenishes as rest and gives me energy. What just keeps draining me? And there's so much research about screen time and what it doesn't do related to energy versus other things.
It will drain you.
Yeah.
I have a terrible analogy.
Okay.
For me, it's a lot like Jayhawks, Kansas Jayhawks basketball. And so when I'm watching a game where they're losing, it can drain my energy. It can make me angry. Right. Like the emotions that go through my body when the Jayhawks are losing a basketball game are not logical. It's just dumb the way it affects me.
Okay.
And so in order to save energy for more wise things, I have had to stop watching the Jayhawks lose. And so what I'll do is I'll check the score after the game. If they won, I'll go back and watch the game. If they lost, I will not watch that game. And it's an energy management
thing.
You
have to be smart with that.
Where I'm like, I get illogical about the refs when they're losing the game. Like, this is, I'm not an idiot, but for some reason I'm biased and I get angry at things that I just wouldn't get angry at.
Yeah.
So I've got to be wise about how I'm using my energy.
Absolutely.
And
losing. We talked already about outside versus inside time. So for me, I'm regenerated when I'm in God's creation. That is a regeneration. If I'm climbing a mountain, I might physically become tired, but mentally and emotionally, I'm regenerated by time with God doing that.
That's good.
Training a horse.
Yeah.
I for a living, train, develop people.
Yeah.
This is what I do. And so sometimes for me, that horse training is where screen time for me, it just seems to just continue to drain as if all the other stuff.
Yeah, and it's so person by person. Everybody's different. Yep. I escape rooms for me. I can end an escape room and there is energy coursing through my body that I cannot describe in any other situation. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I need to do 20 escape rooms in a row. And if you look at how much energy exertion I'm putting into an escape room, I know I sound like a total nerd right now.
Yes.
But the mental gymnastics, the physicals in some of these escape rooms that you're exerting, like you're exerting a lot of energy in an escape room. So why is it when I exert that much energy, do I get out and I still feel so much energy? It's just because we all have to know what is it that fills your tank and what is it that drains you. And statistically, looking at cell phone use and technology use, it is strangely draining.
Yeah,
like it almost to an illogical level. It drains people more than even they know that it's draining them.
Yeah.
And so we have to be careful about that.
It's so tempting because it's right there.
Yeah.
You kind of lost me with the escape room thing. Okay. I got to be honest.
It doesn't fill you up.
No. That's ridiculous. But to each their own. Each their own. I get that, right?
I'll teach you someday.
Yeah, sure.
You get filled up by a dog. I get filled up by a escape room.
Oh, here we go with the dog. I'm going to stick you in an escape room with like three great dogs. Life will be changed.
You just took a great environment and killed it.
Oh, man.
All right. Here's Louis C.K. talking about cell phone use.
You know, I think these things are toxic. I don't think, especially for kids. It's just this thing. It's bad. And they don't look at people when they talk to them and they don't build the empathy. You know, kids are mean and it's because they're trying it out. They look at a kid and they go, you're fat. And then they see the kid's face scrunch up and they go, ooh, that doesn't feel good to make a person do that.
Right.
But they got to start with doing the mean thing. But when they write you're fat, then they just go, that was fun. I like that.
So, that tasted good.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is, you need to build an ability to just be yourself and not be doing something. That's what the phones are taking away.
Yes.
Is the ability to just sit there like this. That's being a person, right?
Yes.
No one can, you got to check. Because, underneath everything in your life, there's that thing, that empty, forever empty. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
We got a solution for that.
And sometimes when things clear away, you're not watching it, you're in your car, and you start going, oh, no, here it comes, that I am alone, like it starts to visit on you. You know, just the sadness.
Yes.
Life is tremendously sad just by,
this
being
guy
in
needs
it.
God
and
pretty
so
bad.
He's driving. And then you go, that's why we text and drive. I look around, pretty much 100% of people driving are texting.
Yes.
And they're killing, everybody's murdering each other with their cars.
Yes.
But people are willing to risk taking a life and ruining their own.
Yes.
Because they don't want to be alone for a second. Because it's so hard. I was in my car one time, and a Bruce Springsteen song comes on. And it gave me kind of like a fall back to school depression feeling. It made me really sad.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, I'm getting sad. I got to get the phone and write hi to like 50 people. And then I said, you know what? Don't. Just be sad. Just let the sadness just stand in the way of it and let it hit you like a truck. And I let it come and Bruce, and I just started to feel, oh my. And I pulled over and I just cried. And it was beautiful. It was like this beautiful, it's just this, sadness is poetic. You're lucky to live sad moments. And then I had happy feelings because when you let yourself feel sad,
yes,
your body has like antibodies. It has happiness that comes.
Rushing in
to meet the sadness.
He doesn't get it.
Grateful to feel sad. And then I met it with true, profound happiness. It was such a trip, you know? And the thing is, because we don't want that first bit of sad,
yeah. You
never feel completely sad or completely happy.
Right.
You just feel kind of
artificial.
Satisfied
artificial.
With your product.
Yep.
Yes.
And then you die.
That's like one of my favorite clips of all time. Yeah, I love comedians because they have a way of saying what everybody's thinking.
Yes. With yes, it. But not saying.
He needs Jesus, doesn't he?
He does. He does.
That hole
he
there. Does. Can yes. be filled.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's somebody that you live life with, and yeah. he's amazing.
Yeah.
And you don't feel that. Oh, yeah.
I think there's something to be said about, he made that joke at the beginning about kids saying you're fat and getting mm-hmm. the feedback. And that's like mm-hmm. us learning mm-hmm. Emotional intelligence, learning how mm-hmm. to communicate to people.
Yeah.
And I think there's value to that. And I think, do you see that discourse has gotten more harsh, more harmful, more angry since the advent of social media
and
all of that. I remember when I was in college and in the early days of social media, nobody put their real name on social media.
Right.
You had a handle, you had a fake name on Zanga or whatever it was. And people would write whatever they wanted to. Now, at least you have to associate your name to it.
Right.
But still, even then, people are willing to say things online behind a screen.
Yeah.
Then they would. I mean, we're going to put video clips from this on YouTube, and maybe 80% of the comments we get on our YouTube clips, primarily like the 1 minute shorts, about 80% of the comments are very hateful.
Okay.
Very angry, very negative. You dumb Christians, you naive people.
It
just doesn't happen in everyday life.
Yeah.
You see, kind of see that same anger.
Oh, sure. You know, it gives people, it lets our fallen nature most be exposed because there's no accountability for it. Right.
Yeah.
You know, I will say this and I completely agree, but one of the positives of all this though, is it has given people who have weak voices a chance to speak, a little bit more empowerment and freedom. It's given in places, it's given voice to the weak, and that's been a real positive thing. It's given them a chance to where they've grown up in cultures, family cultures or others, where they were beaten down. This has allowed them to have voice, and I'm really positive about that. But for the most part, it's allowed us to go too far. Accountability without it, we deteriorate really quickly.
Amen.
Because of our fallen natures.
Yep.
And there's just not enough of that in this scenario. One thing about, as I watched his clip though, talk about kids, you talk about their screen time. It's so accurate. And wise parents, this isn't about parenting, but wise parents will put boundaries and limit and force real conversation, all those things. But we have to be careful. For those of us especially, you know, I'm at the age where I'm going to start having grandkids soon.
Wow.
And old. And I watch my generation and the generation before me. And we come across when we talk to kids about technology so cranky.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
You got to watch that. You can't do that. We've got to enter into their world and give sage wisdom, and parents have to set boundaries and all those things. But that's not going to work for us if we're just yelling at them about their phones. That's not the way to handle that.
What do you think of this? I look at these goggles and I'm like, you dumb kids.
Right.
There's no way I'm wearing this around. I look like I'm going skiing in my office because I got the VR or AR goggles.
Have you tried it?
I have not.
Oh, you've got to try it.
Really?
It's the best.
Huh.
Oh, I'm an early adopter on VR. And hopefully AR can be even better.
Yeah.
I think it's going to radically be a radical positive thing for the church. I'm watching what Life Church is doing with that, and we're studying that as a group. I'm an early adopter on it. I love it, and I think it'll be abused. I think it'll be harmful in so many ways. But if we embrace it as a church, I just think we can open up doors for people in so many powerful ways and provide an unobstructed relationship, initiation of relationships and a view of Christ. So I'm excited about it.
You helped me on this issue, especially with like online church. I've been very hesitant about online church.
You have. Oh no, God gave you an opportunity, in my opinion.
Church Real 7 was birthed because Wes took me to lunch one day and screamed at me for not doing much for online church.
Whatever.
But I do feel like we've seen so much positive. I've been surprised by how much positive has come out. Obviously, we're going to learn. We're going to figure out which boundaries do we need to build.
And it's not church. So let's be careful to say what it is and what it isn't.
Yeah.
Online church cannot replace the real community you experience in interaction in somebody's presence.
Right.
So if we're trying to say that VR is going to replace like me getting my butt out of bed and worshiping in community with real people and real. No, that's not it.
Right.
All of these things have their place.
It's not instead of,
but it's a magically inspired by God, in my opinion, open door that we should embrace. And VR is the same kind of thing.
Just on Sunday, I had another guy. This is, it keeps happening. I had another guy. He said, I've been coming to your church for 6 months. Never been here in person.
Yeah.
And he was able to be introduced to our church and to the kingdom of God because he wasn't willing to walk through the doors.
Yeah.
But he would turn on a
link. Before, we had to communicate through media that was biased.
True.
We had to communicate through filters in our world to people who were terrified to walk through a church door.
Yep.
God said enough of that.
Yep.
I'm going to make the line from the gospel to people more direct.
Yeah.
And he just took those filters away, and it's thank God for it, and thank God for this.
Yeah, yeah. We can't. If we push the brakes too much, somebody else is going to jump in.
And figure
out a way to use it for their mission. Yeah. If we believe our mission,
again, God's in charge.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
He actually has a plan for the world.
Yes. Yeah.
Our job as His children is just to be open to how He wants to use us in the things that come.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, if we would have taken the Gutenberg press and decided we weren't going to use it to print the Bible because that wasn't holy enough.
Yeah, there you go.
We'd be in trouble.
We'd be in trouble.
But we are thankful that new technology allowed us to get the word to more people.
You and I are probably Christians as a result.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Yeah. And so we're going to expect that God can use this new technology to get the word to more people.
Yep.
And so we call it digital missions. Mm-hmm. So we put it more in the missional category than we do in the church category, largely because of something that I've heard you say, is that church does require some sacrifice.
Yeah.
You need to get yourself into eventually mature to the point where you see church not as something that's supposed to just be for my benefit, but I'm sacrificing, I'm giving a little bit, and that's kind of hard to do when I'm sitting on my couch watching on my TV with my feet up.
And it'll be tempting for people to stop there.
Yeah.
At that digital experience, how are they absorb that?
Yeah.
And it'll be tempting for them to stop there and do that. And that'll be one of the things that happens. But that's been around for generations. People have been coming to church and just being entertained and absorbed and not that. The challenge of selfishness versus selflessness has always been among us.
Yeah.
And there's just going to be opportunities to not overcome that if you don't want to.
When you talk about the next generation, if you disconnect yourself from the upcoming technologies and just become bah humbug about all of it.
You're going to limit your impact in life.
Yeah.
I specifically want to say to you all who are my age or older, we have to be cautious about this because if we are
like 70s.
Yeah. I have hit the 50 mark.
Okay. There you go.
I've hit the 50 mark. I haven't hit the 70 mark yet. But boy, take VR, you know, these kinds of, oh, what's coming next? Yeah. And it's just going to separate me from real interaction. But really, what? If we're being honest, we just don't want to be uncomfortable.
Right.
We
yeah.
figured out a comfortable
life.
I
want to
learn something new or whatever. But if we don't do that, and if we kind of become curmudgeons about all this stuff, we will disconnect ourselves from the next generation and the next generation.
Yeah.
And we will have no relationship and no impact. And that is huge. So it's important for me, like when I'm asked about VR, for instance,
yeah.
the concerns I have about it, I put second in a conversation.
Good.
My first response is, I think I'm going to love this.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Yeah.
That's my response. And it opens up relational connections. I want to be a sage someday. Mm. I want to be somebody that people ask for opinion, you know, ask advice. And if I cut myself off in technology, that will not happen.
Yeah.
So I feel like the older I get, the more cutting edge I'd have to get in some ways,
yeah.
because I need to speak their language. So I'm intentionally trying to hang out with the early 20 somethings mm-hmm. in a lot for lots of ways, but particularly technology, because I don't want to even know what's happening now. I want to know what they think is next.
Yeah.
And I want to be in that world
yeah.
because now I can have relationship and impact. And whether it's just my grandkids or in a really larger context, I better be on the cutting edge or I won't have impact.
Yeah.
So.
So next podcast, we're going to join you wearing
VR goggles.
we're going to enter a whole new reality. This is going to be fun.
What if I got you a VR pet? What if we started there?
Do I have to take care of it?
Yes.
I don't want to. I take care of my kids. That's enough.
Okay. I'm going to have you train a VR horse one time. We'll see if I can change anything about
this. Do you remember when the kids had those little pet keychains and they had yeah. to take care of them all day? I was always like, yeah. why would you want more work? Yeah. Why do you want to take care of it? I don't get it. So when we talk about boundaries in technology, have you like intentionally sure. set up some boundaries about how much you'll use it and what technology you will use and what you won't use?
Yeah, I have. For me, the temptation is not so much the amount of time, the screen time. I do pretty well naturally at that. I know that's unusual. So I think setting up screen time boundaries, I mean, my kids do that, and I think that's wise. I think most people should like have a number that they're not willing to exceed each day. For me, it's not that. It's more about priority. Mm. So I do not allow myself any screen time prior to having spent an hour with God.
Yeah.
And so there's a process I go through, and we've spent that time, and I don't news. It doesn't matter. Right. There's just none of that. So that sets a priority course in my life that's not allowed. I think relationally, if my phone is available to me past a certain point in the evening, it hurts me relationally with my family, particularly my spouse in my case. So I have a time that once we arrive on that time, I don't have any screen time left. As far as phone goes, we may watch a show together,
right?
But in terms of screen time that you're talking about. So I have that set up in my life. And then so the Bible talks about fasting. And typically when we talk about fasting, we're talking about fasting from food. And that's a good thing to do, a healthy thing to do. We now know, right? Like that's healthy. But I think a super important thing to do is to regularly take a fast from technology. Set it up in your week so that it doesn't drastically impact your work that week, but have a moment when you're fasting from technology. And when I first started that, it was very miserable. I didn't realize how tied that I was. I didn't think I was. Like I thought, these crazies who are on all these platforms and they're the ones that have to deal with this. I'm not addicted. Boy, fasting from technology for a period of time each week was pretty difficult, actually. It has yielded amazing results for me.
Louis C.K. would say you had to sit alone with your sadness.
Right. I don't feel that so much all the time. Although there can be moments of that where you face reality about your situation, and that's appropriate. But I hear God's voice.
Yeah.
And technology distracts from God's voice. That's for me the big benefit. I feel like I hear God's voice.
I've done very similar things. Okay. The thing I would we put our phone on chargers at dinner time, and they stay on chargers till bedtime. The big place where I have to put boundaries on my technology use are lust and work.
Okay.
And so I have covenant eyes on my phone that takes screenshots randomly all throughout the day and sends those screenshots to my wife. So she sees everything that I do on all my technology.
Yeah.
And then work, though, is kind of been the hardest one for me. I'm one that likes to respond to emails immediately.
Yeah.
If I get an email, I want to respond right away.
Yeah.
And the hard part about that is people need your attention mm-hmm. at all times of the day. Mm-hmm. And so if I don't create a boundary there, I can work 24/7. Mm-hmm. Except when I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
And so that's another area where I have to put up boundaries.
Yeah. And then if you don't have that gap between shutting it off and sleep, you really actually won't sleep well.
Right.
Yeah. And, I think not resting well is a sin. Mm. And God gives, the psalmist says, God gives sleep to those he loves. That's a gift. And we reject that gift if we don't rest well. And he'll lead us, he'll make us lie in green pastures. Mm. And we choose to reject God's rest so often by the choices we make. And I think that's a sin. I think we're rejecting God in that.
Yeah. So it just comes back to the wise use of technology. And we'd encourage you that however much you use technology, that you have created boundaries and you've been intentional about how you use it and when you use it. But we will continue to believe that God can use it for good. And so we will be optimistic in that way. Thank you for joining us today. You should know that Jesus loves you unconditionally and he died to give you new life.